Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast. And a warm welcome to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. Thank you so much for tuning in today. However you, whatever you're doing today, I hope that you feel that you are walking with the Lord. And that's first and foremost what I want to encourage you all to do, is to have the Holy Spirit right in your heart, helping you with every decision you make and every eye contact you make and every interaction you have with people that you meet about your day. Because that's the way to live the Christian life, is to have Christ at the center of your every decision you make. I think when it says love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, I think in the Greek the word for heart is kardia, which I believe means love God with the decisions you make. So as we're starting off in the 2019, we're going to want to be making really wise decisions. And I want to thank Dr. Clarence Schuller, who was just on the program. If you missed any of that, you're just jumping in your car or turning on the radio. He's talking about his new book, which comes out this month. It's called Choose Greatness, 11 Wise Decisions That Brave Young Men Make. Great title. He wrote it with Dr. Gary Chapman. You may know him, the love language doctor. And it was a great discussion. We have 4 books to give away. We've had a whole bunch of people get in the drawing. If you want to put your name in that drawing as well, email me at bill@myfaithradio.com and just write in wise decisions in the subject line. And then when you do that, also include your name and address, because if you are one of the lucky winners, we'll need to know where to send it. We've got a great hour coming up now. Brian Frabel is going to be with us in just a minute. He is the executive director and president of the Oasis, which is in Fort Collins, Colorado. And he wants to help all of us get closer to the Lord and do it in a very neighborly way, where you notice people around you and you start having conversations, become friends. And next thing you know, you're getting into conversations about God and real life issues, and you can lead them to the Lord and become a great evangelist just by being simply a good neighbor. And then Patrick Albanese is going to be with me as well in the second part of the hour, and it's our first conversation we're going to have in 2019, so we'll find out what there is to talk about with him in terms of what resolutions he might be making or not. That's all ahead in this hour. We'll take a short break and be back with just a minute with Brian Frabel.
I'm Alan Kearden, president of the University of Northwestern and Northwestern Media. As a university, we believe in providing an affordable, Christ-centered education that gives our students the opportunity to grow both intellectually and spiritually. The University of Northwestern does not rely on federal or state funding beyond the financial aid awarded to students. That's because we want the freedom to provide biblical education without interference. Therefore, we rely on people like you to partner with us and help us alleviate the financial burden for many of our students. Give a gift today and be a part of impacting the world for Christ.
It's almost our anniversary. Join us for a night of comedy with Bill Arnold and the original cast of Triple Espresso as we celebrate 70 years of radio ministry. Michael Pierce Donnelly, Bob Stromberg, and Bill Arnold, the writers and original cast of Triple Espresso, will keep you laughing with a unique comedy show. One night only, 7 p.m. March 16th at the Knight Performance Hall on the campus of the University of Northwestern in St. Paul, Minnesota. Tickets are available now at myfaithradio.com.
What would you do with a brain if you had one?
Do? Why, if I had a brain, I could
while away the hours, conferring with the flowers, consulting with the rain. And my head, I'd be scratching while my thoughts were busy hatching if I only had a brain. I'd unravel.
All right, 2019 is well underway, and as we get back to some of our regular guests, one of my favorites, of course, is Patrick Albanese, my friend and colleague from prestigious West Des Moines. He's with me now on our Skype line. Hello, Patrick.
Hey, how you doing, Bill?
I'm good. We're off to that big 2019, and I don't know about you, but resolutions, we've been talking about those the last couple of days, and yesterday I had Dr. Glenn Pickering on, and of course you know Glenn, and
yes,
we were talking about things that you don't add into your life, but things that you let go of, and that's what a resolution is. You're letting go of something. So have you let go of anything yet?
I'm working on it. My initially, my goal used to be to have a goal.
Right. You should let go of that.
I'm going to let go of that.
Yeah.
The older I get, I'm turning more into an entertainment minimalist. You know, my eventual goal is to step on stage, receive a standing ovation for nothing, be handed a hefty check, and then to walk off. And so if this Glenn Pickering minimalism approach of eliminating things from your life works, I will be the first to let you know.
Yeah.
I'm, you know what I was happy to let go of?
What's
actually?
That?
And maybe Rebecca, producer extraordinaire, will be familiar with this. The Elf on the Shelf. Are you familiar with the Elf on a Shelf concept?
I wish I wasn't, but I am.
Oh, boy. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Okay.
Is that the thing you move
now,
around?
Yeah, it's the thing you move around. So if Christmas wasn't stressful enough having to buy gifts for everybody, then every night, without disturbing your children, these elves, somebody came up with this idea to make gajillions of dollars and annoy parents at the same time, which is always a surefire formula.
Yeah.
So, of course, we had to get these elves. They have names. And then what they do is they're supposed to watch the children during the day, so you can kind of do the that elf tonight flies back to Santa, reports on your behavior, and it's sort of a behavior control mechanism. It doesn't work. But every night you do have to find a new place for it. And to make matters worse, my wife decided to buy each of these elves a reindeer and some optional clothing items, so that you sometimes have to – you get up. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. I got to find a place for the elves. I got to find a place for the elves. It's got to be something new. It's got to be something grand. Do they get into the marshmallows? Do I put them in the blender this time? And then, of course, you know, you've had this process for a couple of years, and every now and then the kids get up. They go, I opened up the fridge, and the elves were in the refrigerator, and 1 gallon of milk was green and one was red. And you go, gosh, aren't those elves clever? And they're like, they did that last year. You go, oh, you remembered.
Yeah.
So you not only do you want the holidays to be over, but you go, the shelf and the elf. And, well, we didn't have Elf on a Shelf when I was a kid. We did, I think, Shepherd with a Leopard or Stranger in the Manger. Yeah. I don't know what we did, but my parents seemed to get better behavior control out of me without having to move elves around every night at 3 a.m. and not disturb children. My son this morning woke up and saw me placing presents under the tree Christmas morning. And I say, yeah, I believe Santa caught you, heard you, and he just dumped these at the door, so I'm doing the distribution.
Speaking of kids, here's what concerns me more than that is the article came out in a paper that said an average 10-year-old has eaten 18 years' worth of sugar.
Yeah, that sounds like a typical holiday season.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah, the average 10-year-old has consumed as much sugar in their lifetime as the recommended limit for an 18-year-old. So in other words, by age 10, you've eaten as much sugar as you would have normally eaten by age 18. And that concerns me on a lot of levels because, you know, usually when you had some sugar, you would go outside and do something, you know, running around the yard. Now they're eating sugar and playing video games. So it's not a great great combo.
It's not an ideal combo. You know, and did you do this as a kid? Of course, the dinner time beverage was milk or water.
Right.
If you didn't like milk, you just had the water. And then, you know, so you didn't drink soda or juice with a meal.
No.
But once a week, as a dessert, you could have a soda pop. That was considered a dessert in my family as a soda pop.
Mm-hmm.
You could finish your meal and then have a soda pop. You go, oh, God, we got some Fanta. We got some, and what was it? The Orange Crush and the Grape Crush and the Strawberry Crush. Those were always favorites because those were the sugariest beverages you could get, I think, at the time. Yeah, it's, you know, my son is very disciplined when it comes to the sweets. He might still have some Halloween candy left over.
Oh, wow. Good for
him. My daughter came through it in a couple of days. But my son's like, no. You know, would you like a piece of candy in your lunch today? Nope. Like, really? You're 8? I was going to say I wish I had his discipline, but I do. I think maybe he gets it from me because if the sweets are around, I might eat them. But I don't crave them. If I see them, however.
That's when you start craving them.
Yeah. So I actually asked my wife to hide them. I said, just, you know, they don't have to be hidden well, just out of sight.
Yeah.
Like, don't put them in any cabinet that I open. So it seems to work. It works with my son. He just, if we don't have it, he's like, oh well. My daughter's, you know, she's a lot like, what are those games? Those Hunger Games, you know, I think where they just fight each other to the death to get the last scrap of food. My daughter's like that with a piece of sugar around the house. That's mine.
Yeah. It does concern me though, that there's too many bad diets out there. And of course, around the first of the year, everybody says, you know, I want to change my diet. I want to do a little bit better in the eating department, and I want to exercise a little bit more. And a lot of people, you know, have great intentions. And then, you know, a couple of weeks down the road, they can't stick to it. And to me, you have to say, I got to make this a lifestyle, and you got to give it at least 21 days before anything becomes a habit.
Yeah, it's funny. My orthodontist texted me the other day.
How old are you?
And said, I'm working on your program.
Okay.
Hope your teeth are still straight. we would always have conversations when I went in there for adjustments, and she loved my approach of two things. I said, you know, you and I got the concept from you. Really, it was something I did, but the wording I got from you was the non-negotiables.
Yes,
I said, as long as you don't think about it, you know. I said, you know, you have people. Do you actually contemplate brushing your teeth at any given moment? You don't. You just say, oh, time to brush my teeth. And if you approach, I think, a New Year's resolution, let's say that it's to eat healthier or to exercise, don't think about it. And I know that's very simplistic, but I was realizing I had a birthday of a few days ago. And I was realizing that on my 18th birthday, I went and I joined a gym with my brothers, Bob and Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And we would go to this Nautilus Plus together, and then we would go eat a massive breakfast, and then we'd go outside and we'd put aluminum siding on houses in the winter in Chicago. And 40 years later, I'm still going to the gym. And I started that habit at a very young age. And yeah, I used to go to the YMCA with my mom and go down to the weight room, turn around, go back up to the swimming pool where they didn't have the big guys. But I did start that habit, and I never thought about it. And I realized that was, you know, over the years, you know, I've had people say, oh, well, you're just genetically blessed. I said, maybe I have a genetic predisposition towards just not thinking about stuff, just doing it.
Well, I think if you make your mind up in advance that it's what you're going to do every day, and it's not something you're going to ask yourself and say, do I feel like going to the gym today? Then you're just going to go ahead and do it.
Yeah. And I also think that I don't want to say set realistic expectations, but understand that the process with anything health oriented or life oriented is it always feels like it's on a seeming plateau, that you're going nowhere. But that plateau is actually ramped slightly, maybe one or two or 3 degrees. So you don't notice your progress.
Right.
You know, we have this expectation of a 30 degree ramp that every day we go in, we're going to say, can you believe this? Can you believe what happened?
Yeah.
You know, in 1 week.
Yeah.
But if you say, well, look, it's such a slow incremental thing, don't go looking for the results right away, because you'll be disappointed. If you just say, it's so slow, I might not notice it, but just keep at it.
Yeah. Incremental. Yeah. I think that's the way most stuff works, in a very slow, incremental way.
Yeah, you have those occasional, you know, bursts of whatever it is. You know, you play the banjo, and you probably, over the years when you were studying, you'd say, I'm getting nowhere. And then one day you picked it up and you said, I had a growth spurt of some kind. I can suddenly do something that I couldn't do before.
Yeah, good point. Patrick Albanese is my guest. We'll take a little break. And when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion with Patrick in just a minute. Show I have on our Skype line, Patrick Albanese, my friend and colleague from prestigious West Des Moines. This is our first conversation in 2019. So, of course, I want to do some of the old familiars. What do you got planned for the year, and what kind of resolutions have you made? And I think you are kind of a pretty regular social media guy. I think you've pulled back quite a bit on some of that. You've backed off on Twitter a little bit and Facebook as well. Is that right?
Facebook a ton, Twitter a ton. And my rules are, you know, Facebook I'm putting up, it's back to family pictures. You know, lately I'm on this streak of lunchbox love notes.
I've talked about some of those on the air, just so you know.
Oh, have you really?
Yeah. Oh, they're hysterical. Yeah.
Some of them are, you know, clever. What did I have today?
What did you have today?
Oh, action figures sold separately.
Mm-hmm.
I could have told you that. I follow your notes, Patrick, on Facebook. Okay. So please keep them up. I know you may want to take a step back from social media, but that's actually rewarding and encouraging for everybody else.
My son takes the notes off his lunch and then he sticks them on his chest and walks around. So, you know, he'll have the batteries not included, you know, sticker on.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter, I when the holidays hit, and I'm performing in a show right now, as you probably know, because you wrote it. But it got so busy that I was away from Twitter 100% for the better part of a week. And went back the other day, and after about 5 minutes, I said, "So this is the cesspool I've been swimming in." I think the more you do it, the less you notice how it affects your attitude. And I found that I had this more of a spring in my step. I started thinking about life, like my family. You know, I see people with, you know, it's very easy to get caught up into it, and you know, you're sucked up into this nasty world of, you know, next thing you know, you're insulting people you don't know, getting into Twitter fights, which I cannot think of a larger waste of time. But I can't be, you know, I can't lie and say that it hasn't happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
So how did I get there? So I did take a step away, you know, and it's hard to go back now that I got kind of this, I don't want to call it a soul cleansing, but like, oh my gosh, I feel like I got a part of my life back. Mm-hmm. I really, really do. I'm kind of happier. What's that all about? Mm-hmm. Also, because we did start a new year, I am already getting used to writing Year of the Monkey on my checks. That was quite the adjustment. You know, you spend the whole year. Remember, that used to be a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Because you used to write checks. You're like, oh, can you believe I wrote 2018?
Yeah, I know. I remember those check days. And yeah. I remember, you know, you're standing in line forever because everyone wrote a check. And it was, you know, you had to hand over the driver's license. And then the exhausted clerk would always kind of ask you that question with a little bit of snarkiness, you know, which is everything current? And I would usually I would usually say, well, it was when I got in line, because now it's like every, you know, you got self checkout and everything, you know, you can check out so fast nowadays.
Yeah, it's funny. I go to a check stand now, and I've gotten into the habit of carrying some cash again. And so whenever I need cash, I go, how many forms of ID do you need with that?
Do you accept cash? You can even ask that question.
Yeah, it tends to throw them because they ask you so many other questions. You know, these days they say, you know, they ask you if you want your milk in a bag. Yeah, I'm always like, I go, well, no, leave it in the container. I think that bag leaks. Why would you take it out of that perfectly sealed container? Which, by the way, whatever glue they use to put that protective seal on, I want some of that to fix some stuff around the house. That's the strongest glue known to mankind.
Yeah, that's funny.
Never get that fun. Yeah.
So, when you are thinking about 2019 in terms of your family and you know, trying to grow your faith and share your hope with others, do you have any general plans or specific plans, or is it more of what you've done in the past?
You know, it's funny. I've gotten into this habit on New Year's of doing sort of a year in review of the previous year. And saying what was working, what didn't work.
Yeah, that's really smart.
Yeah. Can I do more of that?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of trying to set, similar to Glenn Pickering's thoughts on, you know, don't add to your plate. Maybe see if you know, if there's something you can remove. But I want to look back and say, okay, you know, is there something that you want to do more of? Or, you know, where do you feel like you're moving in a good direction on some of these things? And, as you know, all these worthwhile things in life are they're time consuming. They take a bit of discipline. And I would like to grow my faith because I do look at that and I say, you know, you're falling short. You know, it isn't necessarily not volunteering enough, although I could certainly do more of that. But my Bible study group, we didn't have a good year. And, you know, in terms of getting together and discussing things, we managed to get together for plenty of barbecues. Never got around to discussing a sermon or getting into, you know, a Bible message. So I do want to get that back on track because I remember how fulfilling that was.
Mm-hmm. I always question authority because I always want to be in charge. And every day I wake up, I say to myself, I am not in charge. I never will be. And I have to surrender my full authority to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And if I don't do that every day, I feel like I'm off to having a bad day.
Yeah. I mean, you always have to remember, you know, God's driving the vehicle. You're just lucky to be a passenger.
No kidding. Yeah.
And, you know, he might take suggestions if you say, you know, if you got some time, if you could take a little side trip over here, I'd like to do that. But he might have something better in mind.
Yeah.
And then that's ultimately not being in charge of anything.
Yeah. And as you get a little bit older, you realize that the things that you had a lot of motivation for that were temporal don't seem to satisfy that much anymore. I used to love sitting down and watching, let's say, a football game from start to finish. And I'm good if I can watch a quarter of it now.
Yeah,
I
know.
I just lose complete interest.
I lose complete interest as well. It's I don't know if
and
that's
your Bears
just
are winning.
And my Bears are winning. Yeah. So they'll some viewership from me this weekend, of course.
Of course.
But I won't watch the whole game. I was talking to my brother the other day and he bought some thing that sounds like a dream. He says, "Well, I bought this NFL so-and-so package where I can watch an entire game. It's after it's aired," he said, "but I can't fit it into my schedule real time. But I can watch the entire game in a half an hour." All they remove everything but the plays.
Oh, wow.
So all the chit chat, they remove all the time between plays, no commercials. Is all you do is watch play, game over.
Mm, interesting.
Said, I could do that.
Yeah.
You know, he says, it's like $100. I go, I could still do it. But yeah, I don't have the patience for that. And, you know, it's not like you're questioning, well, what is life all about? I think you question that a lot, but I certainly know I'm not supposed to, I shouldn't sit in front of the TV for 4 hours. I partly blame the NFL, for instance, to use that as an example. It's like when you expanded the game to take up a huge chunk of my time because you thought that I was a passive watcher that mm-hmm. you know owned, a part of my brain said, no, you don't.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
own me.
It's prioritizing. It's keeping, you know, the important things first and foremost and not wasting time. And that's, I guess, one of the resolutions I have every year is try not to do that.
Try not to
yeah,
do that.
Yeah. Patrick, thanks so much for being on the show. Always look forward to it. And thank you for continuing to be my regular guest this year in 2019.
I look forward to being here.
Thank you so much.
Yep.
Patrick Albanese has been my guest. We'll take a short break and be back with more in just a minute. I know that we are living in a world that I think is getting increasingly more isolated and we're increasingly more disconnected. What would it be like if we made a very intentional effort to be more connected, to be more part of a friend in the community where you want to see people feel refreshed and encouraged? My guest on the show is Brian Frabel, and he is doing just that. He's the executive director and president of the Oasis. And I think if my school serves me correct, an oasis is a place in the desert where you find refreshment. And I think the world is getting increasingly more like a desert. And the oasis is more of what we need in this world. So, Brian, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Thank you. Now, when I was – you're in Fort Collins, Colorado, is that right?
Yep.
All right. So when I think of – an oasis, I think of that place where people are finally refreshed and renewed and restored and they feel safe again. What would be your definition of oasis?
Yeah, and how we really came up with this is it really falls in line with what you were just sharing, and it is exactly that, you know. And initially, with us, like, we thought the oasis would be a place, and a place that we would create in our home that exactly people could find life, right? People could find refreshment. People can be rejuvenated, find healing. But more very quickly into our ministry, we recognized, well, of course, I mean, we want it to be a place, but it really is a person, mm-hmm. right? And that's the person of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so the oasis then really is, for us, is Jesus, life, you know, found in him. And in the midst of the turmoil, in the midst of the dryness and all that, life and rejuvenation can still be found. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Brian, when I was reading about over some of your materials, I think what I came across was this, and I'm paraphrasing, so help me with this, is that the oasis, hopefully, as you meet and make friends and connect to people in the community, the goal is to get everybody just one step closer. And that really stuck with me.
Yeah, that's really it. And I guess, I mean, that ultimately, I mean, that's the process. But ultimately, I mean, when I wake up in the morning, it really is about the mission for me is connecting people to Jesus.
Okay.
Right? And so the process might be one step closer, but the ultimate goal, whatever that is, it's connecting people to Jesus, the real Jesus, the very present right here with us, Jesus, you know, and the one who really does want to lead and guide and bring renewal to all things.
So, Brian, what can we learn about the Oasis and what you do and what we can maybe start doing in our own communities that's similar to it?
Yeah. Well, you know, I was just talking with a student last night, an old student, way back when I was a youth pastor in the 90s, and she is into cancer research. She's in her 40s now, and it's interesting, right, because though she's very busy in what she's doing in her work, it seems that she's plugging in all these different ways into community to bring Christ to where she's at. You know, and so for me, I'm going, man, whatever we can do to be an example to help people do that, it's great. For me, I go, I'm just compelled to do it full time, to connect folks in three different spheres. And one sphere is, you know, I'm looking through all the relationships that I have up and down the Front Range and have seen that some people have been kind of drifting away from church, drifting away from community, and actually paying attention, seeing that, and coming alongside, say, hey, I see what's happening. Can we have a conversation about that? And to see where has Christ fit in the midst of the church organization, in the midst of your home, in the midst of all the things you're doing, you know? And so starting that conversation with folks. And so that's like one sphere to maybe pay attention to, right? It's, mm-hmm. it's just the people that are in our lives that we might find that are starting to drift away and to go, why is that? What's actually happening?
That's a great
and
question.
To be intentional in bringing that out, you know?
Yeah, Brian, that's a great question, because why are they drifting away?
Yeah. Yeah. And interestingly, you know, conversation after conversation, one of the things that I found is that though people have been maybe even participating in church, you know, when I talk about, so talk to me about your relationship with Jesus that you've had over the years, you know, and oftentimes the conversation either moves to religion or it moves to organization, but it doesn't necessarily mean or folks don't really aren't able to express, this is what it is, the day-to-day, hour-to-hour, minute-to-minute for me, you know? Like, that has been kind of absent. And so I go, ooh, that's something to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the other thing too that I have found is though folks might be participating in certain Christian organizations, churches or whatever, sometimes in these conversations I find that actual one-on-one discipleship is also missing. You know, someone to really help them to hear and be attentive to the voice, the presence, the leading of Jesus through the Word, through the Holy Spirit.
Brian, you've got on your website, and the website is theoasisfortcollins.com, and it's a great word, and you say, my desire is to be present and encouraging in any way I can for those who will receive. I almost think we should get up every morning and take a Sharpie and write that on our arm, because that's so important to be that present and that to try to notice people around us and to be available and encouraging. So I'm very encouraged by that. So if you would, talk about some of the discipleship issues. I mean, that's a part of doing life together, is coming alongside people and being encouraging and not only trying to lead them to Christ, but also to disciple them.
Yeah. Yeah. And, it really is, for me, it really is about walking in and through the Gospels. You know, all the Scripture is important, but, you know, when Jesus says to his disciples to go, right, and to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. I think it's kind of interesting how I think we've forgotten a lot of what Jesus actually is leading us to and wanting us to participate in, right? And culture and just a way of life that we do it now, I think overshadows that. And so I think a significant part of discipleship is coming back to the Gospels and really wrestling with these teachings that Jesus has for us, where I believe ultimately it's not about the law that's being pressed upon us, but to awaken within us the Spirit that we actually want to move into these things that Jesus says, this is where life can be found. Even though it might be tough, even though there might be suffering, even though there might be persecution, this is truly where the oasis is, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, I'm still trying to understand more of kind of the one-on-one or the small groups that you have or the outreach events you do, because this is all so right on, and I love it. So maybe give our listeners a little bit more of an understanding of what the week looks like and what some of the events look like.
Yeah, sure. Each day is quite an adventure.
Yeah.
Because, looking at the three spheres that we work in, you know, the pre-established relationships, the second sphere is our neighborhood, and we're connected with over 35 households within our mile-to-mile block. And then public spaces we move into. So through the day, I'll have some appointments, meetings that I've pre-scheduled with folks, you know, that I'll be coming alongside with that might be dealing with some issues that I can really walk in and through and see what does Jesus want here with that. With the neighborhood, it is remarkable when we're able to look up and out to just even walk the neighborhood, to walk the streets and to be willing and ready to engage. And so sometimes throughout the week, I'll be walking the neighborhood and just say, Lord, who do you have for me today? And be really ready and willing to engage in conversation. And inevitably, I would say probably 75% of the folks that I'll engage, whether they're walking their dog or they're doing something out in the front yard, just to say, hello, hey, how's it going? Conversation comes up. And people really want to talk. And so part of the day is to be out there and to see who's out there and what the Lord might want to bring across my path. And then out of those conversations in the neighborhood, it's like, hey, well, how would you like to come over and have some dinner with my wife and I and next week, you know? And, hey, that sounds great. And they'll come over, and then more conversation happens. And so much of it is really hearing people's story, asking people, what's your story? And to hear what that is and to tease out, more often than not, there's some kind of spirituality, something, whether it's hurt in the church or whether there's something positive that's happening, something within the family or structure or whatever, maybe raised Catholic. And as those things come up, then I can start to go down those trails a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
In the public spaces, it is being down in Old Town. We'll do music. I'll gather a small group, and we can do like a drum circle and play and bring some joy into the square. And then as people come in and they watch, and sometimes they want to play with us, and that's great, and starting to develop a relationship. But ultimately, the purpose is to stop playing and to say, how's it going? Strike up conversation, see what their story is, you know, and then time and time again, we see, wow, there's an opportunity to just be present in Christ here for this person, and then maybe even pray for them, to give them a resource that might help them in their journey, you know, after that encounter.
Everything you're saying, Brian, is so interesting, because God says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And you've already said that you've identified like 35 families in a mile and a half radius of your house. And that's literally amazing to think that would be how you have started to spread your faith and hope in Christ with your neighborhood. And then that spreads into the community, and that you'll take time to stop and get to know someone and then invite them to dinner. And so far, it sounds like you're just following Christ in the obedience to love your neighbor, which is really,
it's
very simple, but it's a great reminder to everybody that that's what we all should be doing.
I hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm very impressed. Brian Frabel is my guest. We're going to take a little break. When we come back, we're going to continue our discussion with Brian. He's the executive director and president of The Oasis. That's in Fort Collins, Colorado, and it's theoasisfortcollins.com. We'll take a short break and be right back. Welcome back to the show. I have on our studio line Brian Frabel. He's a friend of just about everybody. And if you live in his neighborhood, he's going to know your name, and he's going to come by, and he's going to say hi, and he's going to probably help you move that marble coffee table into the garage, because that's the kind of guy he is. And then he's going to invite you to his house for dinner, and his wife and he are going to probably make something nice, and he's going to be a good guy. What is with that? I don't know what to make of you. This is exactly what we need to all be reminded of doing, is being a part of paying attention to people around us and listening. I've heard you say this a number of times, Brian. I listen to their stories, because, you know, if you have grown up in a mainline denomination, whether it's Methodist or Episcopalian or whatever, you're going to have a story, and it might have some incorrect information about God, and it gives you a great opportunity to say you got bad information.
Mm. Yeah.
So as you look for opportunities, to have these discussions with people, it does give you a chance to give them the accurate word of God.
As best as I I can, pay attention to the Lord. You know, I mean, we've all got error in the midst of it. You know, but at the same time, sometimes I wonder if we make what the Lord really wants to speak to us too complicated, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when sitting in those two greatest commandments, right, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, I go, man, if we could just follow Jesus and do that and not really worry about so much the rest, I think we'll be in pretty good shape as a church.
Right. So I assume, Brian, yeah. you're not an introvert.
Yeah, that is true.
Okay. Yeah. Now, what about if I have someone listening today that is an introvert and they go, oh, I can't be Brian Frabel. I can't be walking around the neighborhood being nice to people.
Like my wife. My wife is not an introvert, and bless her heart. I mean, she is come alongside this work and being available for dinners and all that. And we certainly have to work intentionally to make sure she gets her alone time, you know, through the week. But let me give you an example, though, because my wife is phenomenal. She's the one that really connects people to Jesus more than I think. And because she's so rock solid, not really out there, but just rock solid in the Lord. And so right now she works in a boutique, and sometimes she even has she's operating the store on her own. You know, she's just sitting there at the counter and someone might come in and this has actually happened, you know, behind one of the little displays, this lady starts to, you know, swear at God. and my wife is just there listening to this. And I think it's because she had some Christian music playing over the system, you know, so my wife just goes, hey, how's it going today? and they strike up this conversation, and the lady just expresses how much she hates church and she's never going to go to church. And she had all these reasons why this was. And then Lenore just listened and was there, and it was something the Lord brought her way, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just in a few encouraging statements, from Lenore, my wife, you know, this lady ends up over the course of the next 2 months going not to one church, but to two churches and really getting involved in the community there. So Lenore is just like, she's not forcing her way into anything, right? She's just there and available and ready to share as the Lord directs, right?
Oh gosh, it's a great reminder. Of being present and listening to people where they're at and just trying to absorb some of their pain or some of their anger and just hang in there with them.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, that's it.
I find it interesting when you hear about stories in your community where someone has, you know, maybe even passed away and the neighbors didn't know about it for 3 days. And you go, they mean they died in their home by themselves and nobody found them? How does that happen that we're that disconnected? I know it's a much different time and we're so preoccupied now with, you know, our schedules. But you hear stories where we don't know what's going on in other people's homes around us.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, actually what you shared strikes close to home. Literally, because I won't go too much into the story on radio here, but that actually did happen in our neighborhood, and it was a younger couple actually, and in their 30s, and the wife died like a year ago, and she was struggling with cancer a year mm-hmm. before that. We had no idea. Like I just found out. Last year, late spring, about that, you know, and it was a shock. So I went over, you know, it was like, you know, months later, and I just knock on the door and say, I am so sorry. I had no idea. I recognize that you guys used to walk together around our house and notice things were changing, but never paid attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really. Forgive me. And so he invited me into the house and just kind of just unloaded for the next 2 hours. Right. And,
mm-hmm.
And there's a person that's really, not so much a person of faith but we're finding a relationship. We're over some rocky, weeks and months, There's really a true openness that's happening there. But yeah, I mean, again, it's networking in the neighborhood. It's just looking up and out, noticing changes in behavior, and then not being nosy, but maybe somehow inquiring, I wonder why that is, right? And somehow and maybe it's nothing, but maybe it is something.
Yeah. Now, Brian,
there is that paying attention, right?
Yeah. I would assume you've had some experiences where people kind of slam the door in your face, and they don't want you on their front step, and they just assume not hear what you have to say.
Yeah.
I assume that's part of it as well.
Yeah, and I think there really hasn't been any doors closed as much as just what are you doing? This is strange. People don't do this. What's your agenda? You know, and just kind of skeptical, suspicious, and so, you know, in those cases, it does take time, like, and looking for opportunities to just share a little love, to bring over a dish of cookies at just the right time, you know, or whatever. But clearly, there are people that don't want to talk about God. I got a neighbor, across the street that going through all kinds of things, and when the subject of God comes up, I mean, he's pretty much an atheist, and has let me know that, and gets pretty steamed up when talking about that, and so it's like, actually, after one conversation that we had, it was very pretty steamy, and all I was doing is just asking a couple questions, right? I wasn't really pushing anything, but just was really interested to know why, and it got pretty heated from this person, and so afterward, you know, they apologized, and oh, I'm so sorry, you know, I don't know why. But I said, hey, it's okay, you know, and I don't have anything to push on you. I just wanted to hear. I just want to understand why, and it's okay.
Yeah.
And so, you know, weeks pass by, and next thing we know, we're connecting again, you know, and just keeping that friendship going. And I guess I say that in part because, you know, people think of Christians sometimes as bringing that agenda, like, hey, the only reason why you want to be my friend is to make me become something or mm-hmm. do something, right? And I love that song, Reckless Love, you know, where that imagery of leaving the 99 for the one,
mm-hmm.
you know, knocking down, I don't remember the lyrics exactly, but knocking down those walls and really going at any length to reach that lost person. And so for me, I go, I want to join God in that, you know, so whether a person rejects the Lord, I still want to be there to say, no, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, because it's okay. In my mind, I'm going, it's okay with the Lord.
Right.
And so I'm just going to continue to be present and continue to strike up friendship, not to push anything and not to say, well, we're done being friends. Like, I don't care anymore since you don't want to, you know, love my Jesus. But it's like, no, that's not the deal. You know, it's like, no, I love you no matter what you say, no matter what worldview you hold. And let's just see how it goes.
Yeah. Brian, you've reminded us of many good things. Thank you so much for sharing your world. And Brian Frabel has been my guest. The Oasis, FortCollins.com is the place to go check out more about Brian's ministry and also get to see his handsome face. Thanks so much to all of my guests, Dr. Mike Ashcraft and Clarence Schuler and Patrick Albanese and Brian Frabel. What a great show. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Thank you for listening and supporting Faith Radio. Remember, as you lay your head on the pillow tonight, God is writing his story in your life. Have a great night, everyone. I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.